Grace to you in peace, in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last few years, the motion picture industry has come out with a number of full-length films which feature and foster faith. One of the more popular of these films was a movie entitled God's Not Dead. Perhaps some of you have seen it. It was followed by a sequel cleverly entitled God's Not Dead 2. And now, set to be released around Easter time, is the third movie in this series entitled God's Not Dead. No, it's not three. God's Not Dead, A Light in the Darkness. In the official trailer for this movie is spoken a rather interesting line. The whole world knows what the church is against, but it is getting harder and harder to know what the church is for. And that's rather sad, isn't it? Either that means that we as the church have not done a real good job of letting the world see who we are, or it means that we as the church have done a real good job of letting the world see who we are, but who we are is not who we're supposed to be. And much of that goes back to our Old Testament reading this morning. The Old Testament lesson appointed for this day is the Lord's giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. And right there, before we go any further, is where we've already begun to mislead others and misrepresent ourselves. Literally translated, these directives from God are not Ten Commandments. But they are literally ten words, ten sayings, ten statements. They are words which define and describe how a child of God is to honor God with his or her life. They are not a series of you better not or else commandments, but rather they are a set of you will not because you won't want to stipulations. Notice, first and foremost, the preface of these ten sayings. God says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And so the implication is this. Now that I, God, have done this for you, these are the things that you will do in response to honor me and to distinguish yourself as one of my people. Number one, you'll only worship me. Number two, you will use my name in honorable ways. Number three, you'll honor the Sabbath day. Number four, you'll honor your parents. Number five, you'll care for the physical well-being of others. Number six, you'll honor marriage and treat the opposite sex with dignity and respect. Seven, you'll protect each other's property. Eight, you'll be truthful and honest. Nine, you'll honor your neighbor's house. And 10, you will honor everything that belongs to your neighbor. So, you want to know what the church is for? There you have it. In 10 simple words from God. These are the things that we are to be for. These are the things that are to define and describe the life of a child of God. But much like those to whom God first gave these words, we have lost sight of and touch with these prescriptions, haven't we? Or at least we have misapplied them. We've tried to unilaterally apply them to everyone on the face of the earth, to all of humanity, instead of recognizing that these words from God were intended simply for us, the redeemed children of God. And since those outside the faith have no interest in honoring God, these statements are merely seen by them as a binding list of do's and don'ts meant to control behavior and inhibit freedom. And thus, our 10 sayings are viewed simply as 10 commandments meant to detail all of those things that we as the church are against. Perhaps the world would see these words from God differently if we pursued them for ourselves as diligently as we have held them over the heads of others. Perhaps the world would see these words differently if we, as the church, as the people of God, lived them differently. Not as a list of commands not to break, but as a list of actions to be achieved and to be accomplished. How would the world see the church differently if we, as the children of God, daily sought out ways to honor God by serving and loving and respecting other people? Would they still see us simply as an institution who is against a woman's right to choose and against same-sex marriages and against divorce and such? Or would they maybe, possibly, start to see us as a group of people who are for the welfare and the safety and the security of children and for healthy, lifelong relationships, and for emotional and spiritual stability and the like. It's interesting, in Matthew 25, as Jesus uses that metaphor of the sheep and the goats to describe how it will be on the last day when he returns to this earth for judgment. And he knows that the folks who are sent to hell to suffer for eternity, those that he deems the goats, they're not sent there because they broke the commandments. They're condemned to hell because they didn't honor God. Their punishment is for what they didn't do right, not for what they did do wrong. And thus we see that the 10 words given to Moses to give to the Israelites, to show them how to live as the children of God, they were not and they are not merely a list of commands designed to inhibit our behavior. But rather they were and they are a list of prescriptive actions to direct our behavior toward God-honoring, God-reflective lives. And thus, if you want to honor God, you want to keep these commandments, as we've grown up calling them, then we should start off each day asking ourselves, what can I do today to honor God with my life? How can I be faithful to Him in all of my speaking and in all of my doing? How can I this day demonstrate honor and love and respect for my parents, for my spouse, for my children, for my siblings, for my coworkers, for that person at the store who just cut in front of me in line. What does it look like for me this day, in this moment, through this circumstance or this crisis, to honor God and to show respect for others? That's what the 10 words of God are about. Those are tough questions. They're tough to answer. They're even tougher to live out. But those are the questions that we, as the church, as the people of God today, should be asking and should be seeking to answer on a daily basis. And not because the Lord our God brought us out of slavery in Egypt, but because Jesus Christ our Lord has brought us out of the slavery to sin. Through His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, He freed us from the punishment of our sin and freed us from the chains of our sin. He sacrificed His life to save ours. And because of Him, because of what He did for us, we are guaranteed of an eternity with our Father in heaven. And because of that, we have good reason every single day to live our lives differently than the people who don't know Him. May we thus respond to God's grace by striving each day to live as His children. May we do our best to fulfill the 10 words of God given to Moses so that the world may know not simply what we are against, but especially what and who we are for. To God be the glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen.